Hear our scripture this morning from 1 Timothy chapter 3 that talks about overseers and pastors and bishops. By the time this text was written, the New Testament world and churches by the late first century were becoming more and more organized, more and more numerous. They were becoming larger and larger. And leadership was needed. It is true that how we understand a pastor today was not exactly the way they understood a pastor then. The concept of a pastor has evolved and emerged through the years. Those first words were words like overseer or bishop. And the words can also be translated pastor. And so the text, the Bible, as always, is dynamic and has a great word for us. Hear this word about pastors. Here is a trustworthy saying. Whoever aspires to the office of overseer or pastor does a noble task. Now, the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family and see that his children obey him, and he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders, so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. Good words about church leaders. Good words about pastors. On successive weekends now, we have seen the calling of a pastor for this church and the coronation of a king. You might ask, what do these two have in common? Well, they might have two things. One is, it does show the importance of leadership, doesn't it? And the second one is, both took place in the pouring down rain. And a third one is, our Sunday school teacher, Roger Peterson, reminded us this morning. The words and the blessing of the Holy Spirit were prayed by this church to rest on the new pastor. And we heard those words from the Archbishop yesterday, to rest on the new king. May the Holy Spirit be present to bless that person. For Zebulun Baptist Church last Sunday, it was a very inspirational day. And Shannon is exactly right. A new chapter comes to this church. And how exciting that will be when it officially opens. But let us not forget all the prayers that have been prayed during the last year. For last Sunday to happen, and for a new person to come to this church. We don't forget all of those wonderful things. The men and women of God have always scored deeply on my spirit. It was a big man of God, Dr. John Huss, when I say big, he was large, who baptized me on Mother's Day in 1960. My large view of him did dim a bit on Tuesday after Sunday when he caught me smoking rabbit tobacco and told my parents. I think I've told you that story. It was another man and woman of God, Dr. and Mrs. James R. Bruce. Jim and Helen Bruce, who served as pastor and wife of First Baptist Church in Inman, South Carolina. Mrs. Bruce was my biology teacher in high school. One day after class, she asked me to stop by her desk, and I did. She said to me, "Mike, would you mind if my husband and I called your parents and asked if we could come over and visit with them?" No, I wouldn't mind that at all. I had been attending the youth group at this church. And so they came and they asked my parents for permission on a Saturday to come to take me to visit Mars Hill College, now Mars Hill University. They wanted to suggest to my parents that this would be a good place for me to go to school. I appreciated their interest in me, especially since I knew it was not because of my biology ability that she had interest in me. And so I did what my pastor said. I went to that school. And how little did I know that it would be such a formative place in my life. It was there, sitting in chapel one morning, that God spoke clearly and convincingly to me to express my life as a Christian minister. I will never forget it. And it was in that place that I met my companion for the years. And in just a few weeks, we will celebrate 53 of those years of walking together. Where would I be today were it not for the man, the men and women of God? They've always scored deeply on my spirit. Last Sunday, as I ushered along with Ben Henry, Ward Page and his family back into the sanctuary, and all of a sudden there was just a spontaneous applause and affirmation from this church. And I thought again how the men and women of God can score deeply on your spirit. I believe that's what's happening in this church today, and we give thanks for it. I remember the early days of my own ministry. Advice was legion. I had advice about which seminary to go to and which one not to go to. My students tell me that's still around. I had advice about which translation of the Bible to use and which one not to use. Ever had advice like that? I even had a lady say to me, "Mike, something I want you to always remember, and this is just me," she said, "I think it just looks more professional if a pastor in the pulpit wears a white shirt and a dark suit. I just think it looks better." White shirt, no dark coat, but a dark robe today. That tape goes off in me every once in a while. I will never forget the visit one evening in our home by a great next-door neighbor. He was a Methodist pastor, and he was what we called in South Carolina a backdoor neighbor. Ever had those? You can leave your back door open, and they can come in at any time, and it's just fine. He was Methodist. We were Baptist. And so he had heard about my call to ministry and my acceptance of that call, and so he came in the back door one evening and said, "Is Mike here?" And my parents said, "Yes, he's in the other room." Pardon me. And he came in and sat down with me. He said, "Mike, I've heard about you answering a call to ministry." I said, "Yes, sir, and I'm very excited about it, looking forward to it." He said, "Well, the reason I'm here tonight is I'm going to give you the best advice that you are ever going to hear." Well, I said, "Okay." And he said, "Now, I need to make sure you're really listening to me. Are you listening to me?" "Yes, sir. I'm listening to you." And so he said, "Mike, if you're going to be a pastor, you had better learn to swallow a piece of stove wood sideways." I didn't know what he was talking about. I've learned a little bit about it since. And I've swallowed my share. But I'm old enough now to know that congregations have probably swallowed a whole lot more of those from me than I have from them. Swallowing a piece of stove wood sideways. This is an apocryphal story. That means it's not in the Bible. So let me be clear about that. And it may not even be true. The story is that Jesus went out walking one day. And as he was out walking, he saw three people crying. And he went over to the first man and said, "Why are you crying?" And he said, I am blind. I've never been able to see." And Jesus touched him and he healed him. And he stood up and he was able to see. And they shouted hallelujah. And then he went to the second person and said, "Why are you crying?" And he said, "I've never been able to walk. I'm lame." And so Jesus touched him and he stood up and he walked. And they praised God. And he went to the third person and he said, "Why are you crying?" And he said, "God has called me to be a Baptist preacher." Jesus took one look at him and sat down, put his arm around him, and they both started crying. Now remember, that's apocryphal. Apocryphal stories as they come. This morning, I want to help you get ready for a new pastor. And I want to lift up some features of the minister's life and work. And then bring them around to speak to you about things that we can do. Here is one that I want you to know. And that is the glory of this profession. The profession of minister is a glorious profession. It is one built on calling, both receiving a call and answering a call. Now, always remember that the highest calling is to be a Christian. We all have the same calling. But there are separate calls. Calls to serve and in the various vocations. God not only calls to ministers, but he calls persons in other professions as well. And you are aware of that. The minister is a person who represents God to the people. A minister is one who the people represent God to him. The minister is not God. The minister is one who speaks for God. He is a preacher. The wonderful glory of taking the truths of the Bible and be able to proclaim them to the congregation. When you stand in this place today, sometimes the preacher sees things that may be different from you. His view is not superior to yours, not by any means. It is only different. He doesn't see just bodies and buildings and books. He sees people living on the edge. He sees people trying to make it. He sees people trying to keep their families together and their jobs together, and sees people trying to keep moving in the direction they want to go. He is a preacher. And he announces to them the good news of the gospel, and that's what preaching is. It is an announcement. He preaches that grace is greater than all of our sin. He proclaims that there is a cure for broken hearts, and proclaims that in Christ, God has redeemed the world. He is a preacher, and he brings that to the congregation. He's not only just a preacher, he's a teacher. What a profession that you have the opportunity to take the truths of the Bible to teach them to people, and the pastor will do that. He's a priest. He's a priest at 9 o'clock on Monday, 2 o'clock on Tuesday, 7 o'clock on Thursday, wherever he goes. And ministers never want to lay that mantle down. I've always believed for the preacher, the highs are higher and the lows are lower. That's a pretty big statement. But there is no high. quite like 12:15 on a Sunday morning, or in the case of Zebulun Baptist Church, 11:15. When you feel like you've hit a home run with the sermon. There's no high quite like when a new family comes to join the church. There's no high quite like the high when you walk into the baptistry waters and others come in to be baptized and they take a hold of your hands. They hold your hands. And you're able to let them down into the water and to bring them back up. There's no high quite like standing behind a communion table when we're all the same for a little while and pronouncing the bread and the cup that represents the body and blood of Jesus for all who wish to receive it. The highs are higher. The lows are sometimes lower. When you look at the condition of the world, and you read in the Bible the way God wants it to be and the way it really is, it sometimes is a low that is lower than you can ever imagine. But it is a glorious profession. The pastor is a shepherd. He is a pastoral shepherd. He's not the chief shepherd, but he is the pastoral shepherd. The glory of this profession. Ward Page believes that deep in his heart. And he will bring that to this church. That's number one. Here's number two. Please remember that the pastor is a generalist in the age of the specialist. The pastor, the minister of the church, is a generalist in the age of the specialist. In most vocations in our world today, you move toward a specialty. It's happened in medicine, doesn't it? And sometimes in law. But the minister remains a generalist. And the minister wouldn't have it any other way. He is a pastor, a priest, a counselor, a firefighter, Dear Abby, all rolled into one. The pastor is a generalist. If you ever see Ward Page, and he looks like, or any member of our ministerial team, and they look like they're dazed, be kind. It could be that they've taken large bites of the human experience, and it's just more than they can take in. More than they can, and they need some time to process it. Dr. Daniel Elshire, who has been the head of the accreditation agency for all divinity schools and seminaries in the United States and Canada. There are 264 of them, by the way. He likes to tell graduates this word. Love God, love the people, and do the work. Love God, love the people, and do the work. You have every right to expect that of your minister. You have every right to expect that your minister will carry and cast a vision for this congregation into those new chapters. You have every right to expect that he will be a person who works hard and seeks to do all that is required of him. That's a vision. Vision translates to mission. Mission doesn't come before vision. Vision comes first, and then you have a mission out of it. My own interpretation of that, love God, love the people, do the work, is I think a pastor has three priorities. These three are to proclaim, to lead, and to care. To proclaim, to lead, and to care. And the wonderful thing about that is you can build your work day to do those things. Early in the morning, the minister studies, has a devotional time, and works toward the teaching and preaching ministry of the church. Later in the morning, you come to the church. And there you work with the leadership of the church to advance the church. And then as the day goes on, you have opportunity to make visits or contacts and to care. You can build your entire workday around those three priorities: to proclaim, to lead, and to care. I believe that's the heart of a pastoral ministry. Remember about Ward Page that he is not the chief shepherd. He is your pastoral shepherd. He cannot do miracles, but he can do mighty works. He cannot walk on water, but he can swim. And all those efforts will be there to do these in a wonderful way. A pastor is a generalist in the age of the specialist. Now, when is a church ready? When is a church ready? You already know one of those. What we're already doing, we're praying for the new pastor and for his family. And we're praying for the church. That is the foundation we build everything else upon. The second thing we can do to get ready is that we can respect, have respect for the vocational competence that the new minister will bring. It has been my privilege to know Ward Page for a few years. I know what a careful person he is. I know what a committed Christian he is. What a dedicated servant he is. He's very thoughtful. He's very kind. He's very relational. He is not given to extremes on any right or left place of being. He is a careful and thoughtful and committed person. And we are excited to join hands. What we can do to be ready for the new pastor to come is, when we have opportunity, to assure him that he is not responsible for all the burdens of the church. You don't need to be at Zebulun Baptist Church, because the lay leadership here is so strong and so wonderful. Ward Page is a collaborator, a team player, a person who wants to work with people, and a person to share in that way. You will be ready for a new pastor when you're ready to turn to your new pastor in times of need. I hope you will do that. He will want you to do that and turn to him in times of need. What else can we do? Maybe there's some gifts we need to bring him. I hope sometime over the next month you'll write his family a note and welcome them to Zebulun Baptist Church. I thought about a gift this week. I thought I would ask you to give him the gift of wearing photo IDs for 1 year. And then I said, that's a young brain coming in here, not one worn out. That's no good. But I want to suggest a gift that we give him. And that is a gift of no comparisons. We give him the gift of no comparisons. We won't compare him to Jack Glasgow. We won't compare him to Mike Cogdell or to anyone else. You have received your minister with the unique gifts that each one of them have. You have let Jack Glasgow become beloved to you because of his gifts that God has given to him. You have given me that blessing. So, when the new pastor comes, let's receive him as the unique person God has made him to be, and the gifts that he will express to us. Wouldn't that be a wonderful gift? And help him to get off to a great, great start. Yes. And then we're ready for a new pastor to come. Come, Ward Page. There's more sermons to preach, more Bible studies to lead, new families to bring into church, new visions to cast out for Zebulun Baptist Church. Come, and come gladly. And now, O Holy One, may your Spirit truly bless these coming days. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.